Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Pei Zayin, Menachos 87, and the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. As we begin the 10th chapter of Menachos, which is called Shtei Midos, the Mishnah describes that in the Beis HaMikdash there were two different types of utensils that were used to measure the dry items that were used as part of the Menachos. There was an Isaron v'chatz Isaron. There was one measure that measured an Isaron, and there was another one that was half of that measure. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, Isaron, Isaron, v'chatz Isaron. He says that there were three different types of measures. There were two different things that measured an Isaron, and one measured a half Isaron, and that's how he got to three different types of measures. Because what was the reason why Rabbi Meir said there were three? Because Rabbi Meir, says the Gemara, by signing a brisa, Rabbi Meir used to say, Ma tamomer Isaron, Isaron, lachem lakeves echad. Why does it state in the verse an Isaron for one lamb? To tell us that there were two measures in the temple for an Isaron. Melame sheshtei Isaronos hayu b'mikdash. There was one was echad gadush ve'echad machuk. There was one Isaron measure which measured an Isaron when it was heaped over the utensil. And Rabbi Meir says that that was what was used for the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, the offering of the Kohen Gadol. And there was one that measured an Isaron when it was leveled. Gadu shabayu model koha menuchos. So with the one that only measured Isaron when it was heaped over, that was the one that was not used for the Kohen Gadol, but that was the one that was used for the regular menachos, all the menachos that were brought every day. Whereas the one that was used for the Kohen Gadol was a larger measure because that measured an Isaron even when it was only flat and not when it was heaped. And that's what the Gemara says, Machuk Shabawaya Modin Lchavite Kohen Gadol. That the flat one will be used for the Kohen Gadol. Whereas the Chachamim say, Lo Yasham El Isaron Echad. There was only one Isaron measure in the entire temple. As it states, Vi Isaron Echad Lakeves Echad. So if that's the case, what do the Chachamim do with the fact that the verse says Isaron Isaron? So that teaches us, say the Chachamim Larabos Chatz Isaron, that there was another type of measure, and that we learn from Isaron Isaron that we use that to include the half Isaron measure. And so how does Rabbi Meir, who says Isaron, Isaron, teaches us that there were two Isaronos, two measures of Isaron in the temple, how does he know that there was a half Isaron? So the Gemara says he learns it out from the Isaron, from the fact that there's an extra Vav, whereas the Rabbanan do not darsh in that Vav. The Rabbanan don't expound any meaning from the extra Vav in that letter. Vav lo darshi. So if that's the case, Rabbi Meir, who says that there were two types of Isaron measures, v'isaron echad l'keves echad. What does he do with that verse? And what does he do with that? My avilei. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir takes that to teach us that who shalo yimdod lo b'shal shlosh l'pav lo b'shal shnayim l'ayal, that you're not allowed to take three isaron measure that measures three isaron for a par, which requires three isaronim, or two for an ayal, that you have to use a single measure and use it three times. And how did the Rabbanan learn that out? Rabbanan nafkul me Nikudo, because from the fact that on top of the Vav of Isaron, there is in the word Isaron, there is a dot above that above the letter Vav there, and so therefore they learn out from that, as Rashi says, that the extra dot is coming to be Lamai, to tell us that you can only use that Isaron measure for a one Isaron or a half Isaron, you can't use it for a two Isaron or a three Isaron, and that's how they learn out from there. So Rabbi Meir, what does he do with that Vav, with that dot above the letter Vav? In the Torah, there's a dot above that letter Vav. It says, Rabbi Meir, Nikudo lo darish. Rabbi Meir does not expound that dot above the letter Vav. So that's how we see a fundamental dispute, that the Chachamim say that since there's a dot in the Torah above the letter Vav, they expound upon the meaning of that dot. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, Vav lo darish, and he didn't expound upon it. What is this dot? So this dot is part of what's called the Eser Netios, or the ten dots, the 10 points, or we could call them in Latin, and as academics refer to them, as the puncta extraordinaria, the extraordinary points that are in the Torah. And according to the Maseches Sofrim, in chapter 6, Mishnah 3 of Maseches Sofrim, there are 10 extraordinary dots in the Torah. There are 10 places, there are actually more than 10 dots, but there are 10 places in the Torah where there's a tradition that we're supposed to place dots above these words. What is the reasoning behind these dots? So about the reasoning behind these dots, there is a machlokas, there's a dispute about it. If we follow the position of the Avos Rabbi Nasan, the Avos Rabbi Nasan says, Yesh Omer Mlama Nikud, why is there a dot above
above the word. So the Avos Rabbi Nosson records a conversation that Ezra says that he anticipates that if Elijah will come, if Eliyahu HaNavi will come to him and say, why do you include this word in the Torah? So Ezra will say, Kfar Nakadati, I already placed the dot above the word to say that I'm not sure if that word is supposed to be there. Meaning to say that the dots reflect the fact that Ezra Sofer was not sure whether or not we were supposed to include this word in our transmission of the Masoretic text. And therefore, when Elijah the prophet will come, he'll tell us whether or not to include it. So the dot is like a place marker to remind us whether or not to include this word. So the dot reflects a scribal ambiguity ambiguity in the tradition about whether or not we're supposed to include that word in our text of the Torah. And so therefore, in this case, maybe it would be the letter Vav, whether or not the Vav is supposed to be included. That's one approach. Almost an opposite approach is taken by the Zohar, and the Zohar says that why are there dots? That the dots are there to emphasize, to see it, to for it to appear to us. Meaning to say that it's like an italics or a bold. That if there are dots are there, it's saying really look at that word. And this is the approach of the Zohar. The Rabbanan say that we're supposed to be darshaning it. In our Gemara here, they're saying it's lamayit. It's to teach us that we have to expound it and say that the Yisaron could be used for this, but not for, we can't make a larger measure. One of the most famous examples of this in the Torah is where there's a dot above every letter of the word Vayishakeu, that when Esav sees Yaakov, it says in the Torah, he runs to him and he kisses him, but there's a dot above every letter in the word there, and Rashi says that there are those who argue about what does this mean, and so that some say Esav didn't really intend to kiss him, he intended to bite him, and so therefore that's what the dots reflect, that they were supposed to expound upon and say that the dots are there for us to darshan that word.